Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. Everything. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.
Hello and welcome to the Secret Vibe Show. You're listening to your host, Valerie A. Campbell. And Vibe is an acronym for vision, intention, belief, and expectation. How are you feeling? Remember, if you're sending out bad vibes, you'll attract bad circumstances. And if you're thinking good things, you'll attract good. So how are you feeling right now? Just ask yourself, what do I want to get yourself straight back into alignment? Now, today's show, I have an amazing lady. Her name is Simone Scott Sawyer, and she is a blogger and activist for endometriosis and women's issues at large. Simone Scott Sawyer, thank you so much for attending the show today. And tell me, what is endometriosis? I'm just about getting the words out. But for people that have never heard of the term, can you tell us a little bit about your story, what it is, and why this is such an important issue?
Hello, Valerie. First of all, thank you so much for having me on your show. Much appreciated. And hello out there to all the viewers. So a little bit about endometriosis. Just to give you a very brief definition, it's a gynecological condition whereby the cells and the tissue that line the womb, medical term for the womb being the endometrium, for some unexplainable reason migrate outside of the womb and can form on various organs all over the body effectively. There was a time when it used to be mainly around the abdomen area, the bowels, the fallopian tubes, your ovaries, etc. However, there are stories where we have heard of endometriosis on the lungs, on the brain, and the issue with
Are you saying that the cells that should be contained within the womb, that the nature of the cells actually can be found in those different areas that you've described?
Correct.
Wow. Okay.
And just to explain, there is no explanation. We have no understanding as to why that occurs.
Wow.
And obviously one of the problems, Valerie, is if we don't know why this occurs, we don't actually know how we're going to cure it.
Right. Okay.
When the woman has her period every month, as would happen with every woman, if you don't fall pregnant, the lining of the womb is automatically shed. And it comes out through the vagina. And I should just put a disclaimer out there. I may well, you know, refer to some terms that may offend some people's sensibilities. I hope it doesn't, but just to be able to give viewers, you know, a very kind of fulsome understanding of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So every month, the woman menstruates, the shed lining comes out through the vagina. If you try and imagine the cells that have formed outside of the womb, they have no point of escape. So what happens is every month, those cells that have now formed into cysts, the medical term or one of the medical terms they use are chocolate cysts, they just keep hardening and reforming every month, month on month.
Wow.
They turn into tumors and they just cause the most excruciating, debilitating pain. Gosh. And in my situation, the endometriosis was mainly on my bowels and bits of my fallopian tubes, my ovaries. And what used to happen was every month, I remember clearly as a little girl, I used to wonder why it was that every single month, if I was on my period and I tried to open my bowels, the pain was just incredible.
Wow.
So to begin with, I'd already be in severe debilitating pain anyway, where I'd be throwing up, vomiting, not able to eat, completely incapacitated for 3-4 days, maybe a week or more. But in addition to that, every time I tried to open my bowels, the pain would just intensify, and I couldn't understand why that was. Mm. One of the frustrating things I had to go through was explaining this to the doctors, but the doctors just not getting it, just not understanding where I was coming from. And because it coincides with your periods, they automatically assumed that it was just ordinary monthly periods. Mm. Surely.
What age were you?
I started my periods when I was about 11, 12, and it started, okay. It started, you know, immediately after. And so from that point on, I was a regular with a regular patient, shall we say, going to visit my doctors and trying to get help and just trying to be rid of the pain. But they just didn't understand.
And they dismissed it as period pain.
Yeah. They just pop you off and say, take a couple of paracetamols, you should be fine. But sadly, I wasn't. So it carried on. And the way I also describe it is, at best, every single month, I used to get the excruciating pain. So when I was going to school, I'd have to take time off school. This affected me throughout my school years, college years, university, and right through to my adult working life.
Wow.
And things more or less culminated when I believe it was around 2003. I was in a relationship at the time, and it was my birthday, and my then partner was going to take me out to celebrate my birthday, which, you know, great thing. I make no bones about, you know, celebrating birthdays. It's one of those things that I'm always excited about. It was a great day. Everything was going wonderfully. I took the day off work, and in the evening we were going out. The only problem that day was that I was on my period.
Oh, no. Now,
you get to a point when you have this condition, you start to work out very quickly what works for you, what doesn't. And I made sure that I'd taken all my painkillers that day to just try and stay, you know, functional. So come the evening, we went out, took him to a really nice fancy restaurant, one of those where they serve 7 courses. Mm-hmm. And I think it was around course 3. I remember he got up, came round the side of the table. I was wondering what was going on. And next thing I knew, he went down on bended knee and proposed to me.
Aww.
Now, I don't know if it was the sheer excitement, exhilaration, everything else that was going on at the time that literally then brought on, you know, some kind of stress hormone in me. And soon after, I started to feel quite poorly. So I excused myself. If you imagine I'm in a public place or in the restaurant, excuse myself, went to the bathroom. And there, lo and behold, this almighty pain just started. You know, I was under attack. And cut a long story short, ended up crawling out of the bathroom. I think the restaurant staff had to actually escort me back to my table. And sadly, it just wasn't going to happen. We couldn't stay the duration. We actually had to get a taxi and come home.
Mm-hmm.
And that started, like, it just took me to a whole new level in terms of my endometriosis. Little did I know that the weeks following that and the months following that were going to take me to a whole new level, basically, where it meant that the pain just carried on every single day. So as opposed to me just having the pain while I was on my period, I then ended up having pain every single day. And what had actually happened was the endometriosis had spread, unbeknown to me, to my bowels and other surrounding organs in my abdomen, resulting in me collapsing in pain when I was at work, when I was, you know, out and about doing various things, having to go into accident and emergency on numerous occasions, being put on morphine to manage the pain, and eventually having to have surgery to remove a good section of my bowel. I think it was about 10 or 12 inches that they had to cut and then eventually join back together again.
Oh, excruciating.
Gosh. So as I say that kind of took things to a completely different level. So this was the worst of the endometriosis, where I now ended up being hospitalized. They initially thought that they could deal with it through a laparoscopy, which is keyhole surgery, but when they went in and could look around through the camera, they could see that it just spread everywhere. There was nothing they could do to sort of zap it out or burn it. I had to have full-blown surgery, which is a laparotomy.
Wow. So was it at this point that you found out that you had endometriosis?
Indeed. So this would have now been about 15 years mm-hmm. after I first started to experience symptoms as a 12-year-old. Yeah, it was about 15, 16 years later that when they did the laparoscopy was when they were able to confirm that it was endometriosis. So I then had to have full-blown surgery. And I remember having two consultants on my team, one who was a gynecologist, and I also had to have a bowel surgeon because it had spread onto the bowels. And I remember the bowel surgeon sitting me down and explaining to me that bowels are very tricky organs to work on. Mm-hmm. And there was a chance that two things. One, she couldn't determine, or rather she couldn't predict how my bowels were going to function post-surgery. So I would either end up suffering from diarrhea or end up suffering from constipation. Mm-hmm. I could sort of handle that. The second thing she said was there was also a chance I would end up with a colostomy bag. She was going to try her best to ensure that didn't happen. I was a young lady at the time, in the prime of my life, and she could see how distressed I was by that news. But she did try to warn me that it was looking very likely that I would end up with a bag. If I did end up with a bag, she would try and make sure that it was temporary and it could be reversed. But there was an outside possibility that I could end up with a bag for life. Wow. Now, you can imagine how distressed I was when I heard this.
As a young woman.
Yeah, you know, sort of had my whole life ahead of me. I'd just gotten engaged. I was meant to be planning my wedding. And next thing I know, I'm now not just dealing with a gynecological illness, endometriosis, but you're telling me that I'm also going to have a bag for life.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was quite distressing. And we had the surgery. It went ahead. Unfortunately, I did suffer complications. And what ended up happening was I then... because where they joined the bowel back together, it basically ruptured. Mm. So I then did have to have the bag.
Right.
And essentially that was to allow the bowel to heal. Mm. So by putting the bag in place, it just gave that bit, the section where they had operated
to heal
properly. Mm. So I wasn't using my bowel in the normal sense as we know it.
Yeah.
Or my body was going out through this bag, which was quite an education for me to see how the human body can work. Mm. So I had this bag for probably a year or so, just to allow everything to go back to normal. And what should have been 3 months off work ended up being a year because there was just so much going on in terms of consultations with my surgeons back and forth and, you know, medication and various procedures that I then had to have just to get me back to where I was originally. So I went through that year of learning a lot, I have to say. And when the periods came back, naively at the time, I thought that it was sorted out. That was it. I was cured. Little did I know that the pain was going to come back with a vengeance. And I remember going back to my consultants and asking him, what is going on? I have had all this surgery, the complications, I've had surgery to correct the previous surgery, and now my periods have come back and the pain is even more unbearable. And that's when he sat me down and explained that there is no cure for the condition. What I now have to get my head around is pain management and being on painkillers for life, essentially.
Wow.
And I think it was around that time that I decided that something had to be done about it, and I got involved with the organization for endometriosis. They were called National Endometriosis Society at the time. They're now called Endometriosis UK. And I became quite active and, you know, got involved with various talks, going to groups, speaking with various women, just trying to understand what could be done, learning from each other's experiences, got involved with some MPs, actually had an audience with Diane Abbott at one point, just to try and, you know, make some waves in the government. And that hopefully that sort of gives you a sense of the background and the reasons why I'm so passionate about, you know, ensuring that women get the help that they deserve.
Right. So how widespread is this condition?
It affects 1 in 10 women in the UK.
Wow, so that's actually quite a high statistic.
That's just the UK.
Does it matter the nationality? Is it across the board?
Across the board. So unlike the only other gynecological illness that springs to mind right now is fibroids, which I also happen to have.
Mm-hmm.
Fibroids tends to affect mainly black women.
Yes.
But with endometriosis, it's across the board. I have met women from various walks of life, various races, whites, Asians, as well as blacks.
Okay. And so they have no idea what causes it. Is it genetic or is it something that you did develop? I mean, do they have any idea what causes it?
We suspect it is genetic, but they don't have any conclusive evidence to prove that. And sadly, so little is known about the condition and adequate research hasn't been carried out, unlike with other illnesses. So for instance, cancer, yes, we know that, you know, if, for instance, you know, your mother had breast cancer, there's a strong chance that you might develop it as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have chance when it comes to conditions like that. With endometriosis, we're not. So there's a lot of conjecture,
yeah,
and a lot of maybe anecdotal evidence, but we're not 100% certain that it could be. Just that, you know, the more you research and read about women's stories, you hear about some women who say they have family members, mothers, grandmothers, who also presented with similar symptoms. So mm-hmm. they kind of join up the dots and think that it could be genetic.
Right, okay. So recently, you know, speaking to you earlier, you mentioned that there is now a national inquiry in London. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so
about raising just for the awareness, isn't it?
Sorry, say that again?
That's about raising awareness of this condition.
It is. And speaking about raising awareness, just for the benefit of your viewers, so I was quite involved with the National Endometriosis Society 15, 20 years ago. And recently, I've taken it to a slightly different level, wherein I have decided to do my own thing. And I started to blog about the condition. And I started doing that in the summer. And I've been putting things on my social media channels, like my Facebook and YouTube. And I just felt this overwhelming, strong urge to start a forum where it was all about engaging, sharing, connecting, informing each other, and empowering each other. And I started with endometriosis because that's, you know, quite personal to me.
Yeah.
And the intention really was to reach out to other women who felt like they didn't have a voice, who didn't know where to turn, didn't really, there's quite a community out there. And clearly there are so many other women who are suffering from the condition, because it was purely from my experience when I was going through the worst of it many years ago, thankfully, because now I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
What made it even more difficult was just being in this cocoon and not knowing how to connect with other women, just to be able to relate, just to be able to maybe get some advice, find out when you're under attack, when you're having pain, what do you do? How do you get through life? How do you stay functional? How do you juggle work?
Just sharing with somebody who can empathize, truly empathize with the pain that you've gone through.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And I know how that made me feel. It made me feel very isolated. It made it all the more difficult to cope with, because you're just this little bubble, just trying to figure things out yourself. And when you even go to the doctors for help and for advice, they didn't know themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I got diagnosed so many times, the amount of times I was fobbed off with painkillers, or, you know, I was put on the pill at one point, you know. And yes, the pill helped, because the pill, you know, stops your periods and artificially tinkers about with your hormones. The hormones, endometriosis is connected to the hormones.
Mm-hmm.
It did bring some relief, but what was happening was that the condition was still there, and all the while I was on the pill, thinking that yes, I could just blithely carry on and get on with life. The condition was actually worsening, which is why several years later I then ended up having the crisis, being rushed into hospital and all of that. So these were some of the reasons why I decided to start vlogging about it. I've been doing videos, putting them on my YouTube channel, talking about my experiences, similar to the kind of discussion we've been having just now.
Yeah.
I mentioned, you know, how it all started, the difficulties I had, you know, while I was at school, as an adult, going to work, my relationships, some of the complications I suffered post-surgery, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And it's just to let women know that there's a platform out there that you can get on. There's a whole community that you can engage with to share, like you say, to empathize, to sympathize.
Yeah.
And also, on a broader level, just to bring awareness to the condition, just to let the powers that be know that we are here in a little corner. This is what we're trying to do to, you know, raise awareness in our own little way. But, you know, on a national scale, it needs the attention it deserves. The government needs to sit up and take note that women are needlessly suffering.
Yeah.
Women need to have that assurance that we're being taken seriously. There's nothing more frustrating and upsetting, actually, than to tell somebody that you have a serious debilitating condition that you're dealing with,
mm-hmm.
than for them to just fob you off and think that you're being neurotic or it's all in your head, or surely can't you just take a couple of pills and get on with it?
Yeah, and just kind of fob you off. So what would you say, what would you say to women out there, or even, you know, teenagers who do have painful periods? Because I had really bad pain when I was having my period when I was younger. And understanding the difference between, this isn't just a painful period, but this is endometriosis.
I would say stick to your guns. It's very hard when you're in a position of vulnerability, mm-hmm. you're not well, you are feeling quite weak physically, mentally, emotionally. It's mm-hmm. very hard when you're in that position to be quite forthright with your doctors, to say to them, I know my body and I know what I'm suffering from is not just, mm-hmm. isn't just pains. I know that I need to be seen by a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that would be a good, one thing that would be something serious to, sorry, start again. A good place to start is often having a scan.
Mm-hmm.
Why? The GP, because normally the first port of call would be your GP. And a good place to start would be for the GP to refer that patient to a gynecologist.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the whole awareness thing comes in, Valerie, because, you know, gynecologists vary in experience. And one of the things that we're pressing for is to have specialists who specialize in endometriosis. There are a few of them. I was fortunate to have a fairly good one I was dealing with when, you know, I got quite sick. But sadly, there are a few who are not completely clued up with the nature of the illness. I mean, I digress slightly. While I was reading articles that were, you know, going around this week when it all hit the headlines, there was a lady who was interviewed on BBC Women's Hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on Monday, in case any of your viewers want to catch it on iPlayer. And she's the chief executive for the World Endometriosis Research Center. I believe her name is Lorna Homisnoy. I hope I pronounced her name correctly. And one of the things she said was that when it comes to surgery for endometriosis, it is as complicated as surgery for cancer, if not more complicated. Wow. Now, I wasn't actually aware of that, but obviously having gone through it on the other side and obviously having suffered the complications that I did, it all makes sense because it
can be so pervasive, yeah.
All pervasive and it's intricate. If it's spreading onto organs like your bowels,
wow.
Your fallopian tubes, your brain,
your lungs. Wow. Yeah.
Imagine. So that's a level of expertise that's needed, and this is why the government needs to step in.
Right. And tell me, what other areas of your life has it impacted?
It impacted me quite a few ways. I mean, when I remember when I first started to date, and when you start to get intimate with your partner, And when I had sex for the first time, I remember it being an extremely painful process. Now, this is the kind of thing which, had I not been mentally strong, I thank God that, you know, I was designed in a way that things like that didn't affect me psychologically, but I could see why women would be quite traumatized by those kind of things. Because I remember speaking to girlfriends at the time and comparing notes and saying, well, when you went through this, did it hurt? Did you feel this way? Did this happen? It was very painful. I used to bleed a lot during sex.
Goodness.
And the first time it happened, it was, it actually became a kind of running joke between my partner at the time, wherein it didn't happen in one go. It was over several goes, shall we say, before we eventually sealed the deal.
Painful. Wow.
Because it was just so excruciatingly painful.
Goodness.
And to be bleeding during sex is not normal. When I had the surgery and I suffered all the complications, because it was mainly on the bowels, I mean, that was just one of them. And as I mentioned, obviously I had the bag. That was a tough period to go through life walking around with the bag. And there were other things as well that I suffered. I had urine retention, you know, and there were various repercussions from that. So there was a time when I didn't even feel like I was functioning like a human being, let alone a woman. If I make sense. It affected me professionally as well. So that year that I had to take off work was difficult. My employers at the time struggled to understand that this was a serious condition. I wasn't just at home painting my nails. I remember while I was at, you know, in the hospital waiting for appointments with my doctors and what have you, and I'll be getting letters from my employers asking me when was I coming back to work. And when I did eventually go back to work a year later, I was taken to a disciplinary panel because they just couldn't understand that this condition was so bad that I had to end up taking a whole year off work. And I had to explain myself in front of a panel.
Wow.
That this is it's quite a serious illness, and this is why I ended up taking a whole year off, because unfortunately in my situation I ended up having complications and I needed to heal from that. It affected me professionally, it affected me on a personal level. Emotionally, there were times when I was extremely down, mentally, psychologically.
I think it must have had such an impact on your self-esteem.
It really did. Your social life, everything. And sorry, just a question you asked earlier about where we're hoping to take it now going forward. So alongside all the great work that organizations like Endometriosis UK are doing and various other organizations and individuals to get the government to sit up and take notice, I started this blogging, you know, sort of alongside that, just to try and raise awareness. And so you can imagine how excited I was when this week on Monday, the findings of the survey, which had been carried out by Endometriosis UK in conjunction with the BBC, were published. The results were all over the media, social media. I mean, it just went stratospheric, you know, in the UK. It was featured on BBC Breakfast that Monday. It featured on the news, BBC News, BBC London. It was on Women's Hour. It was on BBC Live 5, sorry, 5 Live, hosted by Vanessa Feltz. I listened to stories by women. I read articles by women. I mean, you have women out there who talked about being suicidal. You have women out there who actually took pills and overdosed because they just got to a point
just
where
it was... Just to end it. Wow, that's given me chills.
That's it. They just wanted it ended. I heard stories from women. There were some heartbreaking stories where there was a woman who was presented with the option to have a hysterectomy because that's apparently one way that you can put an end to the symptoms, but it's not guaranteed. So here she was facing a huge decision like that. You know, effectively, this is that's going to affect her in more ways than you can imagine. As a woman, having to root everything out, your womb, your ovaries, all your reproductive organs, and then to be told that actually there's no guarantee that the pain won't come back.
That is crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when we, to now get to the point where the BBC in conjunction with Endometriosis UK have put it on the map, mm-hmm. and 13,500 women were given the chance to talk about their experiences, to explain. Finally to have their voices heard. I mean, it was heartbreaking listening to some. If you get a chance to catch some of the interviews on iPlayer, mm-hmm. just to get a sense of what's been going on, it was heartbreaking to hear some of the stories. And to know that the MPs have now taken it to the upper echelons, and an inquiry is going to be carried out to look into endometriosis causes, the reasons why we still do not know to this day what causes this illness, mm. and to start to tackle this big issue of how do we cure it? How do we treat it? Do we give women relief while trying to get on with life?
Gosh. Yeah. And I'm listening to this and I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, and you know, the many of the women's shoes out there struggling with this issue, and you're trying to explain how you're feeling and to not feel heard, but at least we're at that part of the journey where it is now a national inquiry and it's being recognized. You know, it's quite a momentous moment, isn't it? Just to even get to this point.
It really is. It really is. I mean, I am no expert, but when I hear that term, a national inquiry has been launched into XYZ, it's usually when it's of such huge proportions.
Yes.
Affecting so many people.
It can't be ignored anymore and brushed under.
Indeed.
The carpet.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Which is what's been happening, you know, for decades and decades. And, you know, because I realize that it's having such a ripple effect. Because ultimately, you know, if women aren't being able to, aren't in a position to contribute to society and are not feeling like, you know, functioning citizens, mm-hmm. it's going to have a knock-on effect. It's going to have a knock-on effect on the economy. It's going to have a knock-on effect on...
debilitating. Gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're under attack, you can't do anything. Mm-hmm. When I used to pain, just to make it from my bedroom, say, to the kitchen, just to make a hot cup of tea or what have you, I couldn't do that. Or if I do, I'd be like an old woman, literally having to take it step by step, because every move you make when you're under attack is painful, and it just makes the pain even more intense.
Mm.
It's that bad. And you literally need to stay still with a hot water bottle on your tummy and your pills next to you and lots of hot drinks, because that was the only way you could get relief. So, you know, going into work by tube or bus or driving anywhere was an impossibility. This is the level of pain that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're making small progress.
And you're still on your journey. So Simone, tell me, for women that are listening, even I'm sure partners are also affected. Mm-hmm. I imagine whole families are affected. Let's take it there.
Absolutely.
How can listeners reach out to you? Where can they find you? Where can the media find you if they need to interview you on this?
I have my social media channels. So first and foremost, I would say you can find me on YouTube. If you just type my full name into YouTube, Simone Scott Sawyer, it will come up and it will take you to my channel. You will see a few other videos that I've done on other things, but there are a few videos that I've done on endometriosis.
Okay, and that's Simone Scott Sawyer. So I'll just spell that for the listeners. So Simone is Simone, surname Scott, Scott-Sawyer. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right. Okay. And they can find you on YouTube. Anywhere else? Your vlog that you mentioned.
And on Twitter. Oh, sorry. And on Instagram as well, where I go by the moniker Sierra Simi. I can spell that S-I-E-R-R-A-S-I-M-Y.
Okay. Right, fantastic. Whoa, well, you've certainly opened my eyes up on this condition. I really didn't know that women were suffering like this. And, you know, I thank you so much for coming on the show and just opening our eyes on this subject. And I'm sure there's a lot of women, you've added value to them. And, you know, through this podcast, this show, that they also can now feel heard and empathized with as well. So what would be your parting words to women going through the condition?
Don't give up hope. One final important thing I should mention. I was very, very fortunate, purely through serendipity, to have met an amazing flower essence specialist. And this is something that I'll be dealing with in a future video, which I'll be putting on my YouTube channel. And this woman really turned my life around because, as I said, I was suffering various side effects, if you like, after effects from the surgery, and one of them was chronic constipation. So my bowels were literally all over the place, in addition to the pain and everything else. Mm-hmm. And I got to a point where I'd had it with your traditional over-the-counter remedies. I wanted to try something natural. The flowers she uses, the herbs she uses, are all natural. And what she does is she will do a full consultation. She will then prepare some drops that you take in the morning and the evening, and it's bespoke. It's specially prepared for you based on the consultation she's had with you. And she turned my life around.
Wow.
So this is one of the reasons why I started the platform. And I think I mentioned before, it was about engaging, sharing, connecting, informing, and empowering. And I refer to it as Simone's ESCI. So that's the acronym I use. And so I would urge women, firstly, not to give up. There is hope. I felt quite hopeless at one point, and I just had to keep going through that dark tunnel, and eventually the light started to shine through. And I would urge them to just get in contact, so, you know, they can share, they can like, they can comment, and just engage, because that was my main purpose for starting the blog, to engage, to know that they're not alone.
And there is even if it's alternative medicine as well, like you mentioned, that can help ease the pain and the symptoms. I take it that's what this is for you. Would you happen to have her details handy, or should they contact you for the details of that?
Let them contact me.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm happy. Yes, I'm happy to share. As I say, I will be doing a video very soon on that. So I'll just ask viewers to keep their eyes peeled. Feel free to engage with me on my YouTube, on Instagram. What I am actually hoping to do is to interview this flower essence specialist, so she can sell her wares, as it were, and she can explain a bit about what she does, and viewers can actually get to see who she is, and yeah, if it's something that sounds up their path, they can get in contact with her. And I can assure you, she's a miracle worker. I cannot stop singing her praises when I engage with people, whenever it is, on, you know, whatever level. If I hear about any kind of ailments that they're suffering with, I would always give her details so they can get in touch, and she can help put them back on the straight and narrow.
Right, brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Simone Scott Sawyer. You've been brilliant. Thank you so much for being on the show today and increasing the awareness of this debilitating condition, endometriosis. Thank you for adding value. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you once again. It's very kind of you to actually offer me this platform to just put the word out there, and I'm very grateful.
It's needed.
Thank you, Valerie.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. And as always, the divine in me bows to the divine in you. Bye-bye.
Amen. Thank you.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. 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 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.